What, babe?
Okay, finally. Yeah. Ready to go.
Maybe 18 out of 2 minutes or 6.
So basically, if you're doing that one, I'm going to read out the half-hole safe. Okay, and also I've got to add turn off mobile phones.
What?
Turn off mobile phones.
What?
Turn off mobile phones.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, welcome to the event Copyright versus Community. First of all, you might wonder why I speak into this microphone when nothing comes out of the speakers. It's all for the webcast, of course, so we are transmitting this whole event on the internet. Before we have our first speaker, Fabio, I have to make a few announcements. One, I think the most important announcement is that we owe this event to Ian Forrester here. He's the man, he organized all of this. Secondly, I want to thank everybody for coming, especially the visitors. We know that Ravensbourne is not exactly in the center of London, but you may find out maybe it's at the center of some important developments. Now, some of the usual things which I cannot spare you, some health and safety announcements. I find it hard to say those things, but I have to. So eating and drinking is allowed only in the canteen and outside. No smoking throughout the whole building. And toilets are available next to the lecture room and downstairs next to the canteen. If the fire alarm sounds, then please keep your calm, don't panic, and file out. Go out and single file at the exits at the top here and the top there. There is a fire escape staircase down there, and the assembly point is out there on the main parking lot. I want to ask you not to leave any items lying around, and also want to remind you that you're responsible for your own property and that you should wear your visitor's badge. Then we also ask not to stroll around in the college. Please to remain in the areas here, downstairs in the reception area and in the canteen areas. You may use the car park, but only park the car in the zones specially allocated for this. And last not least, please turn off your mobile phones. So, welcome to our first speaker, a legend in search engine circles for many years, and he's now going to present his work. Thank you.
I beg your pardon, but English is not my mother language, so there will be some possible mistakes, and may happen that you don't understand what they say, so just interrupt me if that happens and tell me what you didn't understand. I'm going to present here something that is a slight variation of what I presented last year.
and it will be more axed on images searching, not on general searching. I think that it's a very nice title what they gave to this event here, Copyright versus Community. Maybe I should have spoken as last one, because I represent community versus copyright, actually. And the other side of the medal that you will hear this afternoon from Richard and Gary. Some of the things that I will explain are slightly dubious, as you can see. And it may happen that if you take a really severe copyright attitude, you won't like some of the things that I will say. I hope you won't take a too severe copyright attitude. The first point is that we need to have a look at what the web is to understand how to search it. And the structure of the web and the dimensions that the web has now today. And I have prepared some slides. One of them is the same that we already had left here. This is quite important, actually. This is the structure of the web from a searcher point of view. There is a huge bulk of sites which is not completely indexed by the main search engines. Most people believe that all the main search engines together cover one third of the web, which I represent there with this world by going in the middle there. Then there are some sites outside which only link to the web, but there is no link back. And then there are some sites which are linked from the web and do not link back. And then there are a lot of hidden databases all around the web which you cannot access unless, theoretically, you have a password, or theoretically, you pay, or theoretically you belong to a given group. We will see how to bypass most of these database access protections today as well. The dimensions of the web are staggering. This thing is not very easy to read. Yeah. So we are now around 23.5 billions sites. Growth is going a little longer now, as you will see with the next slide. But a funny thing which no one has really explained until now is that since many years, there is a slowing down between July, August, and October, November. The sites, the page, the niche, and the web. Nobody really knows why. This is not very important. What is important is that here, as you can see, the percentual growth is slowing down. And by the way, I'm not very sure about this data here. So that's more or less what's happening with these October 6. So 23 billion sites. I believe that, we believe actually, most of the people that do searching, that everything is on the web. Every image, every book, every film now as well, every picture, everything. The problem is that it is covered by a huge amount of commercial crap. So it is not easy to throw the correct search out to find what you're looking for. One of the ways to do it is, of course, not only to use just Google. The one way to find things is to put one word in Google. And you can do it, and eventually maybe you will even find what you're looking for. But that's very time consuming, and you will be exposed to a lot of noise when you're looking for the signal. So what you have to do, if you run with the main search engines, is to use at least two or three of them. The best ones at the moment are Google itself, which is very Americano-centric, but it is very good actually. Terma, which is a fantastic search engine. I will show you why in a moment. And fast. Fast on the web, fast. I will show you how to search with Terma, because I think, before beginning with the real stuff, because I think it's something that people underestimate somehow. Terma is not like Google. You search something and then you refine until you get it. You will see it right now. Let's say it's a very stupid search. Just so as you see on the right side, you have refined suggestions which are automated by Terma. Now what you do now, instead in Google you would keep on adding on the search stream plus something, minus something, you know how to do it, if you don't I will show it right now. In Terma you don't do that, you just use these refined suggestions. For instance, let's say you were interested in these Japan lenses, why not? And here's already finished, but normally a wrong example that I would choose. Let's do something more immediate. You see how it works, huh? And so on. This is a very good, actually, search engine. It is not as big as Google and AutoLab, but it has nevertheless this very interesting feature. Another search engine. I want to show just to give you the taste of different engines, because if you're interested in these kind of things, you have to work on them yourself later. I'm just showing you some possible paths for deeper search as the searches that you probably are doing now. Another interesting search engine is a graphical one, which is Cartoon. Cartoon is a very interesting search engine, as you will see in a moment. So, what's the name of the search? We search for advanced searching. Whoa, that way, okay. Now,
there's been problems with it recently.
Yeah, it's a pity because I wanted to show it to you. Doesn't work now. It's somehow better. Now you see, it shows you a graphical correlation between possible places where you can find, and then you can go there. It doesn't work very well. Normally you have much more possibilities, and then you belong to the site. Now, one of the points. I can't see very well here. Yeah. Another way to search is, instead of using the main search engines, to come to the data from an unexpected direction. Let's say you are interested in Newton, again, just as an example. Will give you all the sites on the web which have Nikon inside their URL name. So you see here, we have 500 sites which have Nikon inside the URL. Now, some of these sites won't even work. They will just placeholder. Somebody bought the name and kept it. But a lot of them will work and will have, of course, most of them, a lot of material about what you are looking for. This is another possibility to, if you want to get to data which the search engines may not have listed. There are many other possibilities, some of them are very funny. For instance, if you... let me do... Let's use Google. I will use Google most of the time in this lecture, but I told you before and I'll tell you for the last time now, you shouldn't rely only on Google. You should use other search engines as well. But I will use Google because Google has a huge advantage, has cache. So even if a site disappears, you can link to it nevertheless to the Google cache of it. Another possibility, a very fun one, and it works very well, is this one. Nikon.tree.htm. So what I'm basically doing here, I'm looking for pages, which have, whose name is Nikon Tree, which means that there is a page Nikon 2 and Nikon 1. You could look for Nikon 8 HTML or something like that. Doing this, you can find a lot of pages which otherwise you wouldn't find with normal search, and which will probably most of the time be relevant to Nikon. We will do the same thing later with image searching. When we search for Botticelli pictures, we will just put Botticelli 4.jpg, and we will probably find places where there are at least 4 Botticelli pictures. That's another way to come to the data. One of the problems is that the web is getting more and more commercial. So if you just look, for instance, for pictures of Botticelli, you will find a huge mass of sites which want to sell you pictures of Botticelli, but want to show you for free pictures of Botticelli. There are two possibilities there. The first one is to avoid those sites. A very easy way is to put minus quote point com unquote. This avoids all com sites, which is always good when you search. That's a good way to eliminate part of the noise. Another way is, on the contrary, to find these sites that want to sell you Botticelli pictures, because they probably have Botticelli pictures in some database. Now, once you find the database on the web, it is normally very, very easy to get inside. A classical example is the Borland database, which has an hard-coded password inside it. All Borland databases you can enter with politically on the first mask and correct on the second one. They are coded inside. That was very stupid, I did it. And since many people are still now using Borland database on the web, chances are that you can already, with this very well known and very stupid trick, get inside it. Have a look. Sorry, it's not easy to see this. Everybody knows that, as you see, but people are still using these databases now, even if the biggest things like eBay don't do it anymore. The problem is that all databases, as some people have discovered, have hard-coded passwords inside. It is probably something that the Americans obliged them to have. I think some idiot in the CIA wanted to have access to all possible databases, so the people that make software, they do put hard-coded passwords inside each database, even in Oracle. And I won't show you where they are, but if you learn how to search and live today, you will find huge lists of hard-coded passwords for all databases and Oracle, that are NYU University's database as well. I mean, I hope you will be ethically correct and don't do bad things with that, but it is so. These lists exist, and unfortunately for the CIA, they've been published on the web, and they are easy to find. So that's another possibility to enter a database. You just use the hard-coded password. But there are better possibilities. A very funny one, which works most of the time, is to guess. guessing on the web when you search is an art, but it is an easy one actually, and it is easy to learn it. I would like an example. Imagine that you land in a software site where they offer you a demo of a product. And unfortunately, I don't have nothing to write here, but imagine that you have an all like this one, pa-pa-ra-pa-ra-pa-pa, and then here you have demo, and here you have something like NNC4v3.zip. If you substitute to demo, the subdirectory demo, a subdirectory which could be client, paid, sell, sale, you try them, you can, there are programs, you can shoot 1,000 of them in 1 second. Well, chances are that they have the same structure, only this time the zip file won't be the demo, but the real thing. So that's another possibility, guessing where things are. Now, human mind is not very fantastic, so most of people are boring, and they repeat again and again the same structures. This importance of the structure of the URL is very important for zone databases. Let's imagine that you gain somehow entrance to the Louvre database, where all Louvre pictures are. Now, the structure of this database is very complex. They cannot change it every moment. What they can change is the entrance. But once you know one of the pictures, you can reconstruct, independently from the entrance that they may have changed every 2 days, you can reconstruct everything, and they won't change the structure because it's too complicated to do. So that's another possibility. You find, even with Google, but especially with regional search engines, local search engines, which are very important. That's another, I'm mixing now a little too much, let's keep a bit. You find some pictures in a given subdirectory of a given database of a museum, and you practically have entered it. We call that entering from the roof. And then it is easy to do whatever you want inside. There is nobody is nightening zone. So that's another interesting thing. Another interesting thing about this stuff is that people very often misspell searches. These are the possible misspelling for Britney Spears. The tragedy of the commercial web, I just prepared one example for you, is that people take advantage of misspelling. Look. You see, they do that on purpose to have people, that's okay here, yeah, to have people going to this anime collection free entry, whatever. So the real problem is to avoid such crap when you search, and to diminish the noise you have to go on the web when you have to find something. I have some examples here that I would like to show you. But first, there is a problem with copyright that we have to discuss a moment. You see, also, yes. This is a very interesting thing. This is a mask that we have made. This mask allows you to find any official journal of the European Union in any language, in a moment. Not even the European Union has such a powerful mask. And look, this one is about copyright. I will show you later how you find which numbers are about copyright. And we want that in Spanish, why not? This is important also for linguistic reasons. when you search, you can search, what's the name of this one? You can search derechos de autor y derechos afines a los derechos de autor, and you find different sites that you would have found if you would have used copyrights or whatever. And then you can do the same in French, you can do the same in Spanish, in English, in Swedish. And now with the new languages, you have 20 European languages to play with. To play with not only for copyright matters. Let's imagine that you are interested in something else. Here, you can find how you can say that something else in all European languages. And then you go searching on local engines. Now, how do you find Spanish local engines? Of course, you can go to Google and put Spanish search engines, and you will find some Spanish search engines. But if you go to Google and put, quote, buscadores hispanos, unquote, then you will find better pages on Spanish search engines, because they will be, have been prepared by people that know Spanish, and not by some American Jung somewhere. Now, this mask that you saw now in action is a classical example of the powerful power of advanced searching. This gives you the possibility to have, I think here I have only the old languages, but I will modify it and I will put the new ones, because now they are translating all this stuff in this Czech, Hungarian, Latvian. I don't know if you understand it, the possibility to have on the fly actually a translation of a correct search arrow in another language opens you a wealth of a lot of possibility. And if you can this afternoon for yourself, for instance, try these three searches. I will highlight them. And you will see that this is the same thing. That if you search that in German, if you search that in Spanish, if you search that in French, and if you search that in English, you land in completely different constellations of sites from where you can begin a deeper search. Because when you search, you first make a broad search, so on the surface of the web. And then when you smell the noise, then you go inside. You go inside, and then you do that in another way. As well. You do it what we call combing. You don't actually search something, you search people that have already searched for something. That way you will gain years. Let's imagine you are interested in Nikon F2. Well, you're not the only one. Some guy in South Korea has spent 5 years of his life filming all the links and all the photos about Nikon F2 and everything. Well, yeah, you find this guy's site. And it's 2.5 years work that you have spared for yourself. If you are a power searcher, you are not mere a common human being. You have a real power. I'm sure you don't believe me, but you will if you try to do this kind of stuff. There are some problems with copyrights, as I said. So I decided to use this thing. We are not. There is a technical university of Moldova, which I love, because Moldova has no copyright laws. This is very sad, but unfortunately it's like that. And since Moldova has no copyright laws, all these things I'm teaching are made for the librarians and archivists and students of the Technical University of Moldova. A very nice alma mater. And it could be useful for you as well, if you sometime go there to make an MBA or something, and then you can use all these things. You shouldn't enter databases outside Moldova. So that's just to make things clear, not that somebody then says, because I know that sometimes there are people that don't like it. When I've done this, a by-side effect is that I found out that there are a lot of completely bogus universities on the web. A lot of them. And some of them are really funny. For instance, there are some say $150 and you get your MBA and we guarantee that it is recognized, not like somebody else on the web, so that there is a real concurrence there. And with $150, you can have a real MBA recognized in the States, they recognize everything probably, and you can use it. And it works. And people believe that. And it is recognized. So then you have all the seals and everything you need, it's nice Latin. Some of them are completely bogus. This one, for instance, will do like this. But if you make a search like MBA online, no examinations, no homework, you find 100 of them. And you will get an MBA pretty cheaply. So that's not interesting thing, because you could open your own university on the web and you'd make a lot of money. Here is an example. Yeah. This is an hour that allows you to attract quick and be online. That works. This is to show you that there is a problem of evaluation as well. You must learn to evaluate and quickly what you find. Because otherwise, the internet is completely bogus. You can do whatever you want. And people tend to believe you most of the time. And moreover, you should also learn not to smear all your data all over the web. Because every time you go somewhere, there is a login of where you come from, which is your IP, how long have you been there, how long did you start that image and everything. These logins are there. I have them myself on my site. So you must learn not to leave your referral. The referral is where you came from. That's one of the reasons you should use Opera and not Microsoft Explorer. Opera has many advantages over Microsoft Explorer, and it is, at the moment, in my opinion at least, the best tool for searchers. Look, why? This is Yahoo. Now, this is Yahoo. You see this little icon here with the tack, all the images are away, and tack, background away. So all this red, green crap that they put on the sides, all these stupid flash things, images and everything, pop. And we have the data, we have what we are looking for. We are looking for that here. We are not looking for some kind of crap that moves and annoys you as well. So with Opera, you can do that in a moment. Try to do that with Microsoft Explorer. You have to go down 5 or 6 levels to find where the switch is. And there are other reasons to use Opera. Look at this one. Tuck. Good. Google. App on the web. And so on. You can customize it. You can put your own search engines, one letter and search. And it is also much smaller than Microsoft Explorer. It hasn't got any spyware inside. Microsoft Explorer has spywares. Every time you connect with Microsoft Explorer, it sends data over the web. All this has been proved, and you can find it easily now that you begin to know how to search. A problem with Opera is that they have this annoying advertisements in there, and we will solve this problem on the spot. So enter a nice tool called the Customizer, which you can download in many places. I don't know who programmed this, but must be a saint, really. Now, edit window on. Look how many windows are hidden now. Where is it? Did I get it? This in here. No, here, I edit. Yeah. Misc. Hide. is brilliant. Maybe I am not clicking on the correct one. So it doesn't work very well because it cannot move the mouse very well. Anyway, something that should have worked but doesn't. Should be that one. Oh, all right. Sorry, it took a long time. But that is a very powerful tool, this customizer, and it allows you perfectly to customize in this application. So you can, it's open source in Windows somehow. You can modify everything. You can even re-enable grayed out options. Now, this is very interesting, because some demos tend to have some grayed out options, which for some reason they didn't want you to use. Well, with the customizer, you can enable them in Moldavia. So, of course, there are other ways to find a solution for the advertising network. Very simple one is this one. Is that correct? Yeah. Voila. Each one of these sites will give you a string that you input in Opera and you eliminate. But that is not nice actually, because I don't think you should. This is a very good program. And it is really worth paying for it. It is not expensive at all. I just did that because it's really annoying to watch this advertisement. But if you try Opera and if you like it, I suggest that you do really buy them. And there's people from Norway, they did it, but it's a very, very good program. And they are improving it more and more. And it is really very, very fast and very, very good for searching. And I think they don't care very much about the fact that I explain these things, because they know that I make a hell of an advertisement for Opera every time I speak, so they actually like me. But you don't need to, but if you have some money, this is a program that is worth buying. In general, there are no more programs that are worth buying, because there is always, almost most of the time, a free software alternative, so completely free program, which is per antonomasia free, and which works better than the regular one. If we go now to the media section, you will see that there are very, very good alternatives to those Microsoft crap or player and that kind of things, which are completely free. Let's have a look at them. Media Player Classic has many advantages. The best one is that it doesn't send any data to Microsoft. And it's completely freeware under the GPL license, which is the license for Richard. Richard will explain you this afternoon what that is. And of course, in order to use them, you need the codecs. Fortunately, the codecs are all over the web, so you can download them. So you can even install the Microsoft Spire, the Media Player, install Media Player Classic, it will use the codec from Microsoft, and then deinstall. It's not easy, there are no instructions on the web. It's not easy to deinstall Microsoft things, they grab the guts of the earth. But you can do it, and there are instructions all over the web, and then you remain with Media Player Classic and the codec, and you have a cleaner environment. Of course, you would have an even cleaner one if you would use Linux, but that's something else. Green Linux. In this part of the site, there are some discussion about distributing tools. You know that they have these many now. They don't like to have films on their hard disk. They would like to have only 30-second time. But of course, everything that you can see, you can also grab. So there are a lot of tools that allow you to take streaming pictures on your hard disk and keep them there. More interesting thing is these. Yeah. I don't know if you realized it, but every time you make a photo with a digital camera, the digital camera watermarks the photo. So if you look at photos that people made all over the web, you will find many times the name of these people even, because you can input them, where they did it, and everything. So a lot of data which are inside the JPG. And there are some tools, this JPG cleaner, both old and both freeware by the way, and this GIF cleaner, which allow you to kill the watermarking, which is important also for copyright problems sometimes, because sometimes you may need an image that you found on the web and undelicate enough on the site, or maybe something like you shouldn't use this image. Well, in that case, you just upload the same image somewhere else, and then in this somewhere else you write everybody can use them, and then use that. That's the quickest way to bypass digital copyrights. You create a site on, say, Yahoo, Amis site, you put the images that you need there, and you write, everybody can use them, free for all. Okay, it's hard to prove that, you will never do it very often. Now, let's search for the images. I think that could be interesting in this environment, because you are going to work a lot with images. Unfortunately, if I understood it well, you are going to work a lot with advertisement as well. Well, I hope that at least some among you will turn into anti-advertiser, which is all the rage now. In Paris, you cannot take the underground and see advertisement, because they don't rip them off. They do things to them. So all the advertisements are turned into something else, which is something very interesting, very creative, and something that I suggest you do as well. Look, I have some example, I think. There are a lot of interesting examples. Graphic creative can really do big damage, which is nice to these people. And at the moment, there are mainstream groups in Paris which change the advertising, especially the bus, you know, these things that moves, because not only on the web, you know, even when you wait for the bus, you have something that moves and annoys you. Well, they put something completely different there, and some of these things are beautiful. I have a collection of photos, but I didn't put it on the by room. And if you have fantasy, which you should, since you are going to do this, I will show you another one, which is nice. And then we'll go into, I don't know where it is. Sorry. Voilà. This is not a beautiful one. These kind of things are easier, as you imagine, to do, and they are very powerful, powerful things. So, what I was saying is that searching for images is very easy on the web, but actually very, very, okay, look. This is a very stupid search, but just to show you the quantity. So, you have 8,600 images, some of them are in good quality as well. And I'm just using Google, which is, by the way, not the best image search tool. But using these two tools, you can really find places from where you begin to search and find other places. Very nice place to search for these kind of things is Usenet. I know that many young people don't use Usenet, which is a pity, because Usenet is very powerful and will give you a lot of signal and not so much noise. Oh, there is noise there as well, but so let's have a look at Usenet for a moment. Now, Google is ubiquitous. It has taken over Usenet as well. It is actually the best search engine for Usenet that there is, unfortunately. And if you look here, some search, very simple. You see these are groups. So, web ads, movies, reviews, web ads, theater. Some of them, voilà. And these are letters. Usenet is emails. It's a collection of emails of people discussing these kind of things. And as you see today, these threads are about things that may or may not interest you, but sometime in these emails you will find links, you will find pointers, you will find home pages. There are some tools that automate the extractions of links and homepage URLs from news groups, which is very useful because you don't want to lose your time looking into each one of them. Well, that's it's a good fishing because you can really fetch a lot of things. Actually, advanced searching, if you ever will do it, really, means also that you write your own bots. So some small scripts that allow you to find things that Google won't have. We have many of them which are free. You can really find them, you can use them. I will show you where they are. So if you are interested, you can work on that. You can create your own ones. So we call them scrolls. Some of these are very interesting. For instance, this is your thing here. This is a search bot that will search the results which are in the, let's say you say 1,000, the results from 900 to 1,000. So not on the first page, not on the second, not on the third, but directly underneath, which is sometimes very important because as you probably have seen in the web, the main search engines are spammed. A lot of people work in order to push up their sites, even if these if these sites are not so relevant for your search. So sometimes you find in Google two or three, Matavista especially, which is very easy spam, two or three, four first pages where there is nothing of interest for you, well, commercial crap. So you can just, of course, spring them and begin from the fifth or sixth page. But with some of these bots, you can directly have the results in the first third, the results in the middle, and the results of the last third, and then you can compare them, which is very interesting. And then the other things, the point is not so much what they do now, because they are also a little obsolete, some of them, but the code is there for you to take, and you can modify it. So you can use it as it is, or you can modify it. You can put another search engine, if you prefer, and so on. And then you can have your own bot. You know that many people have simple bots, that is some search strings that they launch in the morning when they arrive in the office, for instance, and then they see what happens after 2 or 3 hours, they come back with results. This is a good idea, but sometimes it's very slow. These bots are quicker, and there are some others which you will find as well, which are also very interesting. There are some commercial bots, like Copernicus and others, which automatically update the search engines they query, the strings they have to use, because the search engines change all the time, so you have to modify that. So what we have made, we use these people that work for Copernicus, we take this update and we use that in our bots. which is it's the contrary of what they would like you to do. They would like you to use their boats so that they we do the contrary. And it works very well. And the results of this is that you have not only that your boats are quicker because they have no overload and they don't send nothing back, but also that they are all automatically updated by people that does this updating for our boats. So we use these updating centrals, if you want, for our purposes. And these are also very interesting. Let's slowly. I will show you some interesting strings. I don't know if you follow me enough to see why these things are interesting, but you see these entitled things. This is one of the possible operators in Google. Entitles index of dead poet letter. This index of trick is used very often. You will see why in a moment, because I will show you how to find MP3 on the web. It is not trivial to find MP3s on the web, because the commercial powers that be have swamped the web with free MP3 sites, which are not free at all, which when you land there, you have to buy something and there is nothing. So there are some ways to bypass this, and a very famous one for many years was to use the index of snippet. Unfortunately, they catched on that, and now if you use the index of snippet, you land in commercial molasses. But we can bypass that. You know, we show you how. Where is it? You see, it's a quote index plus of, unquote, quote last modified, unquote, quote size, DLAM, I'm already putting DLAM there, MP3. And now, chances are, that we get something here, not much. This is database. But you see, this is low quality. You see the size there, it's not good. But anyway, already in this way, you bypass a lot of crap and get the signal much quickly. Because you not only use the index of snippet, but you use this last modified, which is also important when you have those kind of lists. It is just to show you that some correct snippets, you can work on that and you can try yourself. Some snippets are incredibly interesting to find things. The problem is that when doing these kind of searches a lot, the other side gets it and modifies.
It's like the top
one
there, they breathe again.
Sorry?
Top one's rubbish already.
Sorry?
The top one's rubbish already.
Well, they already began with that. But it's just to show you one possibility. You can, there are many, I did put some of them here. So very few of these have been used, so none of these are powerful. And you can always create new ones. I mean, there is no way they can really catch up with your fantasy, because they don't have fantasy. So, now let's finish, and then I have to finish at 12, and then go to the question. Ah, yes, there is another interesting thing, and I'm being sure to know. So, these should be correct. This is the languages which are used in the web. But once more, I go back to what I showed you before, the possibility to use search strings in other languages, which is very important. Because in reality, English is something like a little more than one third. That is Chinese, yeah. And it's too dark to see. But all of these people know English, because these things have been taken from my sites. So my sites are English, so these people must know English, so they, I don't know what they do there. But apparently the original language should be that one. And there are some consequences. All Canadian are in English and not in France. More or less, and Russia is not only Russia, but also Ukraine. So I will now, no, not yet finished. I have two things to show you. One is how you, it's a Mongolian thing, how you register your find and register your tools. This is important, you see, because you have to use tools if you search, and some of them, unfortunately, are not free. They are copyrighted, whatever that means. Books fishing is also interesting. How do you find a book on the web? Anyhow, you use a string from part of the book. Now, this one did work until 2 days ago, but since I used it on a message board, maybe it doesn't work anymore, but I have another one ready. Maybe it does work.
It's
fantastic. Well, here it is. Oh, no, not that it is not correct, sorry. Just in case, another one. I prepared it. For these I haven't used. These I have prepared for this workshop. This is cached, huh? It's a lot of rooms. You can find almost any book. And if you don't find it that way, there's another way, which is very funny. Amazon has created now a search engine in order to search the text of the book they sell. Now, this is very interesting, because what does it mean? It means that they have a database with all texts of all Amazon books. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to search for books. Well, some people in Mongolia found out that you can reconstruct a complete book in Amazon, search different snippets with an automatic bot, not that you have that plan. So you search the first snippet, and then you search the last two words from the first snippet, and then that's automatic, right? And you get the book. It's magic. But it works in Mongolia. That's something that you can do. You just search for Amazon database, book, bot, something like that, and you know it went where you should. But I was speaking about tools, and I have something to show you about tools. Yeah. Now, Telepod Pro is a very nice tool. It's a tool, it's a spider. Goes on the web, grabs a site complete with all subdirectories, so you say them how much, also 5, 6 deep inside. It brings everything back in your hard disk with images, with everything. So if you launch Telepod Pro against my site, you get a complete copy of it. Telepod Pro is a very nice program. Unfortunately, it is not freeware. They know why. They should be freeware, they are not. So this is a string that works. This string works because there is OA in the string. Now, you may not know what OA is. OA is a very funny thing. It's Ukraine, but it has been stolen. So a guy in America has stolen Ukraine domain. And Ukraine want them back, and they don't get it completely, like part. So part is in Ukraine, which is not very copyright compliant, by the way, and part is a guy in America who has stolen it. So what happens is that a lot of very Moldovan sites are with this UA suffix. So if you look for Telepod Pro, If you look for Pelopel Pro Serial EA, chances are that you find something that will allow you to block Pelopel Pro or even to download it completely. The same thing you can do for whatever. And it is trivial easy on the web to bypass any protection because the web was made for sharing. The structure of the web is made for sharing things, for spreading knowledge. It is not made to sell things, to hurt things. There is no way. That's the reason the copyright, they won't manage it, even if they are enforcing it heavier and heavier. They are making laws that will very soon make it legal to explain what I'm doing here. I'm already now on the brink of legality. Really. But even if they make even heavier laws, and we should avoid that they do it, and Richard this afternoon will explain that there are things that you can do to avoid it, there is no way they can really obtain it, because the structure of the web, these things are made to share things. The web was made to exchange information freely. It was originally, the idea was that even an atom bomb could not block it. That scientists could access information even if huge part of backbones were down. So there is no way copyright powers that we can really enforce that. It is a matter which is lost. They do it nevertheless, but it is lost. And if you know how to search, and if you learn, you don't yet, but I'm showing you where the path begin. I'm showing you where the path to search begin. And then there is a huge mountain you have to climb. And the peak is somewhere, there are clouds there, nobody knows where it is. But if you learn how to search, whatever they do, whatever they change, you can always bypass it. Because you have the power to find people that know how to bypass it, even if you don't. Because you have the power to understand what you find, and to you have to learn that a little, but also to evaluate quickly. Now, we only did use main search engines today, which is not very good, but it is the beginning. And you will see that if you create your own batteries of regional search engines, of specific search engines, let's say you are an expert in advertisement, well, there are a lot of search engines that will give you relevant results for advertisement-related things. And you have to prepare that, because there is a long-term searching, and with this I think I will finish now. The main search engines, which overlap, but not completely. I mean, this 33%, it's Google, Yahoo bought all the web now, and Teoma and Fast. Another 10%, more or less, is made by regional search engines. Local search engines are local, maybe it's not the correct term, it's specific search engines, or biochemistry, for instance. Usenet make a good 10%. Then there are some not really kosher techniques like stalking and trading and social engineering. That's what you do when you need access to database and you phone them up and say, I lost my password. And there are a lot of techniques to do that. And trading, that's when you use people that come to your site. You create a honeypot, so you create a nice page about something that you're interested in. And of this page, and then you advertise it on Usenet somewhere where you know the people that... then people will come to your page. Since very few people use proxy, most of the people, they just use Internet Explorer and they go happily around like that, you will see where they come from. And many people, that don't want to send these things at all, they will come directly from their hidden site. So they have a site somewhere which is not linked, with a lot of juicy, interesting things, they come to your honeypot. And you see, haha, that's not. It happens all the time with me. I have a lot of people that know how to search, that come to my site, And I see they come from very interesting places. Message boards, for instance, I didn't know even exist. One of the fun things of the web is that there are so many people doing things on the web that communities that do the same things are isolated and they are not in contact with each other. And suddenly, after many years, you discover that somebody else, say in Australia, has made more or less the same things for years, very interesting things, and you didn't know it exists. It's very, very, very queer at times. Anyway, using the four techniques in the middle, you can go over to long-term seeking, which is something different from short-term search. I think that's enough for today to show you, to give you a taste of about searching. And some of the things are very, very interesting and deserve to be further investigated. Unfortunately, very few people do that because, I don't know why. It beats me why. It would be really interesting if at least some of you would begin working on some of these things and giving back some of the knowledge that should be spread. Thank you. Now, if you have any questions.
We have time for a few questions. I have one question first. You are showing some really interesting pictures on your site. Can you tell us something about those pictures, where they come from?
Yes.
Maybe you can go and show.
Most of them are from Bilibin. He's a Russian painter of the beginning of 1905, 1908, Ivan Bilibin. We call ours the search string. That's the reason there is this image there. And if you make a search for it, you will find a lot more. This one is very nice. Back to these. These ones from the leading as well. Most of them have, in my opinion, something to do with search. That's the reason we give it. But some of them are not from the leading. These are the Russian minimalists at the end of the 2 centuries ago, actually. And this one is as well to do with searching. You can find all these things if you look for even beginning on the web. Some collections in the States and some in Russia.
May I also ask somehow, how did you come to this? I mean, how did you come to the web? How did you develop this specific interest?
Once upon a time I was a cracker, which is a person who breaks protections in software. And I found it very interesting. And I did it for games, I was young. And Then I found it very boring, and I began to think that the interesting thing is to reverse what happens, to understand things. And the web gives us this possibility in spades. I will show you just a moment an interesting example of that, which I made last month, but I think it's quite good. This is fairly new. Now, there are a lot of newspapers on the web, but very few of them will allow you to search the archives for free. So most of them will give you the newspaper for today, yesterday, or last week, or last 2 weeks. Some of them give you complete archives that you can search. This is very, very interesting. And I found the following ones, for instance. The Guardian, by the way, is not bad at all, and is one of the best from 98 onwards. You can search anything. Now, that is very interesting, especially to understand what kind of propaganda they put on newspapers. You search for Osama bin Laden before September, and the attacks on America, and Osama bin Laden afterwards, and you will see the difference. And when you put things in perspective, and you can do that now with the web, you can do it even from 95, from 94, which is begins to be an interesting time span. Well, you get a lot of information that way. Now, these are the only, mainly because there are a lot of small ones, a newspaper, which allow you to search complete archives. Some of them began recently, like the Times of India or Al Jazeera. That's very interesting. And that's one of the examples of the power that searching can give to a grassroots organization. I've made this for people that wanted that to do other things. They wanted to be able to search. So that's an example of what I always found incredibly interesting.
For me, it seems that what you're doing has somehow to do with technology, but on the other hand, also a lot with politics. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the political ideas that stand behind that?
I'm not really political. What I did realize is that in the society where we are, 3,000 people have as much money every year as 3 billions. So the most rich 3,000 people of the world get every year as much money as the poorest 3 billions. Now, since I have 3 kids, I wonder if this society is heading at full speed against a war in that way. And if I may change that, I give my contribution. I think that knowledge is more important than money. I don't think that money should play such a big... I don't understand why money should rule and not knowledge. I simply don't understand that. And my point is that knowledge is powerful. And my point is that some of the things that we can find out are very powerful and very, very dangerous as well. And I think that giving this power to the most possible people is the best way to guarantee that we are not hitting at full speed against the war. But I have not a really political agenda apart from that.
I think it's quite political and not in a party political sense. But my last question, and then it's up to you to ask some questions, is that something that you maybe have already answered. I mean, with all these tools and other things that you showed and other kind of circumvention techniques and also with the kind of free software movement and copyleft movement, more and more people putting on things on the web and saying, yeah, I allow you to use this, I want to share this, and so on and so on. I mean, do you think it's like that kind of strict definition of copyright, is it already over? Is the genie out of the bottle? Is this kind of...
No, I am very pessimist. I think that we will land in jail sooner or later. But on the other hand, I think that, as I told you before, the structure of the world is such that even if they really manage to silence everybody that speaks against copyright, nevertheless, they won't succeed. They have a lost battle, and we have a won battle, even if we will be silenced and they will speak. So that's what I believe.
So do you really think they can make even kind of more strict laws against this?
Yes,
you would be criminalized for
yes,
being a speech
yes.
like
think
that?
I have already begun with that. There are some now laws in the States, not yet in Europe, but they begin. There are now laws in the States that criminalize people that write programs to disassemble programs. This is the nonsense, but so it is. My friends in Data Rescue in Belgium, in Liège, they have the best disassembler in the world, IDA. They have now real problems because they begin to be hassled by authorities all over the world and tell them you shouldn't publish it, you shouldn't do it anymore. That's the product that they sell. Eh?
So basically there's a very big drive from industry, but supported by the governments to somehow put knowledge in a cage and punish all that,
yes.
all those people who want
yes.
to open that.
They want to punish creativity and knowledge because they are dangerous, they could lose money. If people would begin to be really creative and do things, they would lose money. If people wouldn't watch television and do something else, they would lose money. So they don't like it. This is a society where you are conditioned to buy, to consume, and then to buy. That's it.
Buy or die.
That's what you should do.
So I wonder if
they're waiting for the bus, you have to look at these things that move. It is not happening.
Yes,
Sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, please, questions. Maybe if you either can come forward so it's on the screen, or I would have to repeat it, but then your questions would get a strange Central European accent.
How do you earn money?
Sorry?
How do you earn money?
I am a linguist. I speak five languages.
What is 2113?
Sorry?
Your website in Switzerland.
That is the code, the postcode of the server. Okay. 2113.
Yes, if I may. Having taught the burglar to pick the lock of your house or anyone else's house, would you offer the burglar any moral guidance as to what would be valid to take from the house?
Well, I don't know. I think that the lock we are speaking about is a lock that somebody has put where I shouldn't have. Let's imagine that you put a lock on my house and I and other house as well, and I teach people how to take those locks away. What would you say? Is that more correct of me? I'm teaching people to take locks away which have been put where they shouldn't be. Or at least I hope I'm doing that.
Your moral judgment.
It's my moral judgment. I think there's an ethical part on searching. I think that if you learn how to search, you must learn, for instance, languages. That's very important. And you must begin to understand other languages. So, in my experience, quite frankly, it happens very seldom that people that learn this law, which is a very powerful one, will work against knowledge. Most of the people that learn this will spread knowledge. So it is a trade-off, and sometimes we have people that come, use everything, and then they sell it. They make money with that. It is. Because, I mean, I know how to push a site on Google. I could sell that and make money. I don't. But there are people that work actually with us, and then they disappear, and 7 years later we find out that they work for somebody as a spammer, as a search engine spammers. It happens. There is no, not, each one of us must have an ethical point of view, and mine is that spreading knowledge is very important, and holding knowledge is evident. So I help people that hide knowledge. That's it. I hope that the locks that people will break are locks that shouldn't have been there in the first time. It happens that they will break other locks. Some of the people learn these things and they go on porn site and then look at the films for free. That's it. Well, okay. You can do it. I mean, it's very easy. But some of the people here, maybe, will begin to understand that there is something behind this, and they may contribute back something. And it happens, for instance, this stream, I don't know if you remember it, I showed for a moment the streaming side page, where there are all the tools for this streaming. This has been made by a guy that appeared out of nowhere and said, you know, I found a lot of interesting information about the streaming. Are you interested in that? And I said, yes, I am. Everybody would be. And he sent a ready-made thing with the image. It looks like one of my page, but I didn't do it.
So if somebody wants to give something back, how would they do that? It's just email you or kind of...
The best way is they open their own site and they begin to do things. And okay, that's the best thing. But I can publish everything that...
That person says thanks, but he didn't have any plans to come down here.
Sorry?
That person that sent you that essay says thanks, but he couldn't afford the money to come down here.
Sorry, I'm not saying what you say.
Kane says thanks.
Yeah. Sorry? I didn't understand what you say.
Kane, the guy that sent you the essay, says thanks.
Ah, thank you. That's very nice.
Actually, one of the we look at the stats for the stream, and Goldsmith College is actually archiving our stream as we talk. very interesting.
Yes. Well, I think that this streaming technique should be taught in this university.
I hope Goldsmith College will not hide it then behind the.
You should teach this streaming techniques, anti-advertising, that's what you should do. That said, that is very good meaning.
We actually start such a course this autumn. It's called Networked Media Environments. No joke. Okay. Further questions? If there are no further questions, I would suggest we can have a chat in the canteen or wherever, and thank you a lot for this presentation.
Thank you very much. Hopefully this time people will actually respond and get involved more.
I have no idea, but I can show you the... Are you on? I thought I knew. Okay, we have in our Vorbus a WGAT from...
1.108. I'll tell you that's the department from Pigs.
Really?
And there's a lecturer there. He said he's going to be here, actually. But he was very impressed. Yeah, we were all very impressed with this whole thing.
Okay.
So I think he's doing this for students.
That's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. It's just interesting to watch.
I hope he's not doing any damage to the old server.
No, it's fine. Yes, it'll be online, no problem.
It's in here.
It's all in here.
Yes, sorry, it is.
Sorry, everybody, canteen, toilets, wander around outside. Can't get too far down the college, unfortunately. But if you come back, people will come out and tell you. 10 to 2, which is normal, will be here, and you will continue the talk. Let's get our thing working. Adam, let's get our streams going outside.